3 weeks, so you're going to have to talk loud. We're going to talk about, the difference between our standing and our state, or maybe another way to put that, between our kinship and our fellowship. But before we go into that lesson, I think it's important to get a grasp of the two natures that are found within the Christian. And we have this brought out to us in a very dramatic way in Romans chapter 7, and we'll begin in verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And so he's talking about sin nature. I find in a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And so he's talking about an outward man, I guess, an inward man. But he says, but I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And so there's a war going on within one person in these two natures. And he's already said that those things that he knew he should be doing, he doesn't do them. The things that he don't want to be doing, he finds himself doing. And as he tries to work out this two natures within him and try to find a balance within his own energy and with his own understanding, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And then he goes on and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so, if we're going to have the right half of us, or the right nature within us, I don't know if you could say a half, there's two complete natures within us, it's not going to be in manning up or getting your act together with your own energy, but that is going to be through walking after the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to work in our lives. And so I think that we need to understand very clearly that there are two different natures and how we should relate to them. Every believer, every unbeliever, enters into this world inheriting the sinful nature. In Romans 5 and 12, and I printed that out for you, but the Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so we come into this world naturally with the nature of a sinner, someone who's broken the law of God, someone who's missed the mark, the very core of our being as a person, that we are sinners by nature and sinners by choice. But he's talking there about the sin nature, and David spoke of that in Psalms 51 when he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Not talking about an act of sin that his mother committed, but the fact that when he came forth from the womb, even in his very conception, that his nature his DNA was that of a sinner. The Bible describes the unregenerate man as having an inactive spirit. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If it's a fleshly man and a spiritual man, well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, but the natural man, and so we see these two different natures, that which is called the natural man, and that which is spiritual, in verse 15. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so we find here the point being made that the lost person, the natural man, the son of Adam, doesn't have an active spiritual part about him. And that's kind of a debate about within theology. Does a lost person only have two entities in his nature, that being a body and a soul? Or does he have three, a body, soul, and a spirit? Here it says that his natural man can't discern spiritual things. And I've written a verse here for you in 1 Thessalonians. And it says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in Thessalonians, Paul talked about the body and the soul and the spirit. And so man is a threefold being, but it seems as though before he's saved that spiritual part of him is inactive. It's not been jump-started by the Spirit of God necessarily. And when a person comes underneath conviction, is it his spirit or his soul before he's saved? Well, I don't understand all of that and exactly the clear, distinct divisions. Many times in the Bible, the soul and the spirit are kind of, the terms that are given are kind of intermeshed, and that how that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Those things are sometimes difficult to to reach out and really understand all that. But nevertheless, what I'm saying here, in this passage, it says there's a state that we exist in before salvation when we really don't fully grasp the spiritual side of our lives or spiritual things from God. And he makes that plain, that they're foolishness unto him, and he has a nature that dominates him. When, of course, an unbeliever repents, that great verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so with salvation, however that part of the lost man's spirit is involved there, within him becomes a complete nature. The old nature and the new nature are very real entities. They are something that's a reality, something that's absolutely real. And so when we're born again, we receive a new nature, but we don't lose the old nature. And there's where the problem is. There's where the battle begins. And as we look back at our text again in Romans chapter 7, in Romans chapter 7, he says there in verse 17 that, but the sin that, but now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And a lot of times when we're reading the Bible, you need to, when you're talking about sin, you need to have a conscience thinking about S-I-N singular and S-I-N sins plural, in that S-I-N sin, the majority of the time it speaks about the nature, but sins speak about specific sins. And so when he says here in verse 17, now then it's no more I that do it, but sin, the sin nature that dwells within me. And then there in verse 23, but I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing to captivity the law of sin, which is in my members. And so there's two natures within us that are battling. And as we said, the only way for that to overcome is for us to walk in the Spirit. Don't make that verse 1 seem as though we're going to, if we walk in the flesh, and if we walk in the Spirit dominating the flesh, that brings about salvation and there's now no condemnation. It's talking about not the obtaining of salvation, but it's talking about our walk after we're saved. And my walk will not bring condemnation upon my life if I'm yielding to the Spirit of God and walking in the Spirit of God. Now, when we talk about the Christian life, we talk about enemies of our lives, of course, Satan is our enemy. Satan is going to try to draw us into sin, to tempt us. And Satan's goal is not to take our soul, because he can't, but Satan's goal is to rob God of glory. And so Satan is a very real enemy. And we need the Spirit of God to resist him. Also, the world. And Satan, the world, what we mean by that is the attractions of the world, not the physical world, but the world tempts us. And then the third enemy that we have the third enemy that we have is the flesh. And so that's what the old nature is. And why I've written that on the board is this. Your flesh is your enemy. And you're not going to win a battle by mollycoddling your enemy. It's our enemy. And I'm going to have to deal harshly with my enemy. I'm going to have to take serious, make some serious decisions and take some serious action with my enemy. He wants to dominate. And if I do not take some serious action against my flesh, then I'm going to find myself in a place that Paul found himself there in chapter 7, oh, wretched man that I am, that is constantly, it's constantly getting me in trouble. It's constantly defaming my Lord and Savior. And so I think that at times in my life, you know, whatever que sera, sera, whatever will be, or, you know, well, I'm just sowing my wild oats, or, you know, well, I messed up, but we need to understand clearly that the old nature is evil, and he's living within us. And so when we drop down to the heading, the old nature, we find that there's the old nature and the new nature. And we're here in Romans, if you drop back to chapter 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so because we have a new nature, we should not allow ourselves to serve the old nature. We have a new nature, a new relationship with God, and that needs to be destroyed. And when we use this word destroyed, don't have this idea that somehow you and I can come to a place where we've destroyed the old nature and we're now sinless, that we've reached perfection. That's not what he's talking about. He's just talking about, you know, when he pops up his head, I'm going to have to take severe action against him. And the Bible uses those kind of terms, that our old man needs to be crucified in the sense that we count him as crucified, although he still lives within us. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18 talks about the nature again. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, and so he's talking about the sinful nature. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That's a very sobering verse, and that's not a verse I necessarily like. But when it's talking about our nature, not necessarily our abilities to work or our thoughts in entirety, but when he says, when I consider these things, that within me there's no good thing, for I know that in me, in the fleshly part of him, that nature dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And so what we're understanding in this passage is this idea of total depravity. What is total depravity? Total depravity is not that I'm as wicked as Hitler, but it's talking about total depravity. It's talking about the fact that when we sinned and when Adam sinned and when we are born into this world with a sinful nature, that for by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. In that passing, the total depravity is this: there's not a single part of my mind and my flesh and my will that has not been affected by the fall. And so when it talks about no good thing, that my reasoning needs to be lined up with the Word of God, because it's faulty. It's not the best. It's not good. There's no good thing about it. When my will is not placed within the Word of God, that my will can be not just faulty, but corrupt. And that old nature has affected me. And then verse 8 of chapter 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Another powerful verse. When I act and react out of fleshly instinct instead of stopping and resting my spirit and saying, Lord, help me to control my anger, or Lord, what should I do here? When I just act and react out of the flesh, you know, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. That there's no good thing in it. That it says here, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so when I go about my life just doing what I think is normal, just doing what appeals to my flesh, just doing what pleases me, then I can't please God. And so we get back to this, that it's an enemy. It's absolutely an enemy. We're going to have to deal with it. And if you turn and open your page there, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And in that passage, he's talking about, you know, taking off some garments and then putting on some garments. And he's saying, and again, he's not saying that we can completely do away with the old nature, but we don't have to clothe him and we don't have to cuddle to him. In Colossians, it says, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. That what I'm doing is I've showed him the door, although he's still in my life, but we're in the throne room of my life, where my decisions are being made. I'm telling him, shut up. We don't need your input. And we put him off. And as we saw, that old nature is inherited from Adam in Romans 5 and 12. It's inherited nature. We get it from our parents, and they got it from their parents. And so when we want to sit down and we want to say, well, who are you related to? You know, what's in your family tree? What makes you special? Well, let me tell you what's in your family tree. A bunch of sinners. And the only thing that really gives you any merit in this big picture of eternity is your relationship to the Lord. What's in my family tree? What's special about my family tree? Here's what's special, that I'm an heir and joint heir with Christ. And that's not to put down the fact that we shouldn't honor our parents or respect our ancestors and rejoice in our history, but we're going to go to a place where history no longer matters. The old nature is an inherited nature. And John tells us that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that nature. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. If we're going to conquer these enemies, it's going to have to be with a new birth, and a new Heavenly Father, and a new nature within us. The old nature is a fallen nature. We won't read all of these passages here to go to the Bible, but God created man. He was in a state of innocency. He was given dominion over the fish and the fowl and the cattle and over all the earth. He created in the image of God. God tells him in chapter 2 that don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And for the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And Satan said, you know, if you eat of that tree, you know, God doesn't say that, and it doesn't really matter. If you eat of that tree, you'll become as God, that you'll know good from evil. And he was absolutely right. When they ate of the tree, the fruit of the tree, they knew good from evil. But they knew good in not being able to obtain it. And they knew evil and not being able to escape it. And that's exactly what Paul is in chapter 7 of Romans. And he ends up saying, oh, wretched man. But the victory is that we can walk after the Spirit and yield to the Spirit. And man, chapter 8, when you finish it, what can separate us from the love of God? And it's just such a, there's no condemnation. There's no frustration. All things work together for good to those that love God. And there's no separation there in Romans chapter 8. Okay, so it's a fallen nature. Ecclesiastes tells us, "For there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Isaiah says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Romans 3 says, "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so, as we examine our world from the beginning of history up until this very hour, the problem in our world, in the governments of the world, the cities of the world, the homes of the world, is that man has a nature that is opposed to God. And we who are saved need to understand that that old nature is not our friend. Now, look there, and we'll let these words sink in. The old nature is wholly corrupt and evil. Genesis 6:5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, I want you to understand exactly what I'm trying to paint for you here. We're not saying that a lost mother can't in some fashion or some way love her child. We're not even saying that a lost person can't do benevolent things that benefit others. But what we are saying that in their core, there's a corruption. And it's a corruption that's going to condemn them to hell, but it's a corruption also that mars their life, that often in the things that they do, it's with a motive that is selfish. And the Bible, as it speaks here, that man, his imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, why do we fight as his children with evil thoughts? Why can we read a book that brings evil thoughts? Why can we, get mad at someone and think, I'm going to get back at him. I'm going to get more than back at him. I'm going to get ahead of him. I'm going to go out there and flatten all his tires. Where does that come from? Well, there's a corruptness within us. And there's a war within us. There's an enemy within us. And he needs to be dealt with in the fashion of an enemy. In chapter 6 and 11 of Genesis, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." I don't know if you realize this or not, but they don't do this so much anymore, I don't think, but the old trucks used to have a governor on them, and that was a part of the gas feeding into the motor, and it would only allow you to go so fast or give so much gas to that truck, and the only time you can really get going is when you'd be up on a hill and kick it out of gear and let it go. But a governor. Well, the earth is corrupt and was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, that we need to have a governor upon the flesh. And he says here in Isaiah Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And so here is Isaiah, a man that's a prophet of God, a man who uses his lips to serve the Lord in prophesying. And as he examined his life, he says, I've been affected by the old man. I'm a man of unclean lips. And then Jeremiah kind of wipes away all of our superficiality and all of our wanting to pat ourselves on the back when he says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That the old man, what you got to understand is that, you know, a lot of times the military, you know, war, sometimes, you know, in either World War One or World War Two, I think it's World War One, that the Germans and the Allies, they took a truce for Christmas. And actually, one place on the battlefront, the Germans and the Americans intermingled during the battle. And that there was a truce that took place. Well, with these enemies, Satan, the world, and the flesh, there can never be a truce. That the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You can't trust your enemy. And remember that this flesh, that it's energized by Satan. And the nature is bad. Mark makes it plain that it's out of the inward old man that evil comes. He says, for from within, out of the heart of men, perceive evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride. Pride. Foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That old sinful nature wants to defile me. That my mom at times said, Gene, you've been a little stinker today. And sometimes those words were said in affection, but a lot of times we are defiled and we're stinking as Christians. And why is that? Because that old corruptness is growing. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. The old nature is weak and frail. It's dirty, defiled, an enemy. And it's affected my body. Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone that I may take comfort in a little. Job was just saying the shortness of life. Job 14 says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and cutteth down. He fleeth also a shadow and continueth not. Sometimes it's a shock for parents that new baby. Everybody's oohing and aahing over them, and it gets older. And it's a shock and an eye-opening reality when they stand there and they tell you a bold-faced lie, and you know they're lying, and it comes flooding over you again, the reality of the nature that you've passed on to them, and that is corrupt. And we need the Lord to change that, and we need to follow what the Bible says as far as discipline. Psalms 90, for all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Isaiah says, a voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And so when things wither, they get wrinkles. And when you grow older and you look in the mirror, you see the withering process. The old nature, this is important. It's unchangeable. We can't do anything to improve it or change it. You see, this idea of our society that we need to take the people off the street, the street people, and put them in a new environment, give them some housing, give them some financial support, help them to get up on their feet, help them to pull up their, you know, themselves by their own bootstraps, that we need to realize that it takes a village to raise a child, that we need to realize that social justice needs to come about. And what they mean by that is that we need to distribute the wealth, and everything's going to come about, and everything's going to be a utopia. But that's not the problem. The problem, there's a nature within man that wants to dominate, and it doesn't want to be dominated. And they want to do, I want to do what I want to do. I remember one time I was invited to a birthday party, and it was for a husband, and the husband wasn't cooperating very good, and his wife said, you're not going to ruin my party. It wasn't about her husband at all, because the sinful nature is coming out, that I want it my way. And so the answer for this world's problems is there needs to be a new nature within mankind. It's unchangeable. Job said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Jeremiah said, can the Ethiopian change his skin? That is a Negro. Or a leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Just as it is impossible for those two things to come about, it's impossible to do good from the natural man. Look over in Romans 6 and 12. Though we have these two natures, the second nature gives us a step up. And he says, in verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. And so reckoning has to do with my thinking, my will, my intentions. And he says, decide that you're going to quit following the flesh. Be dead unto sin, but be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it's got to be through him and through his power. And then he gives a very clear command to you and to me. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And so he's saying here that we have the ability to either yield to the old nature or not yield to the old nature. That though it dominated our life before we were sin, and we walked, in Ephesians it says, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, that before we were saved, we're just going where our wills lead us and Satan directs us. But after that, I have a choice. I can either, you know, give in to my temptation. I can either give in to the world, and I can give in to the flesh, and I can say, I know this is wrong, but I want to do this. Well, it's a matter of your heart. Here's what you're going to have to grasp and get a hold of. All sin is a decision of the will. And as Christians, we can either yield to it or say no. And let me tell you something. Just like when Fauci said, there's a good independency about Americans, but there comes a point you need to do what you're told. There's a part about my flesh, you're not going to tell me what to do. I don't want to do what I'm told. I want to do what I want. And I can either yield to God or I can do what I want. And let me say to you, it's like sending the F-35s, our new and most modern jets. I'm sure they got something on the back burner they're making greater than those. But it's like sending those to our enemies. When we yield to the flesh, we're benefiting the enemy. It's our enemy. The flesh is our enemy. And it defames our God. Okay. The new nature. That's enough of that old nature. The new nature. When we receive Christ as our Savior, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's entirely new, brand new, different. What kind of nature is it? It's a divine nature. What does that mean? Divine. It's a godly nature. That Christ liveth in me. That we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Have you ever just sat and thought about that? maybe we wouldn't want to take, when we really grasp that, we wouldn't want to take the Spirit of God some places that we go. We wouldn't want the Spirit of God to be conscious of some things that we do. The new nature is a divine nature. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That this new nature is but of God. Peter puts it even stronger. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so this new nature within is a life, a nature of the Lord. By nature, I'm human, and I get my humanity from my parents. Doesn't mean I'm exactly like them. Doesn't mean that we don't have different facial features or different stature. But I receive my nature, who I am as a being, from my parents. When I have a divine nature, it doesn't mean that I'm a God like the Mormons would teach, but I am his child. I have the nature of God within me. But I still have the nature of Adam within me. And there's where the problem is. As born of flesh is flesh. The new nature is a spiritual nature. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. I want you to turn over there into that reference, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When I was studying 1 Corinthians 15 and preaching about the resurrection, there's moments in your office when new truth is revealed and you're overwhelmed by it, and you just bow your head and weep for joy. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." And so there we have our two natures there within that verse. The last Adam, of course, being Christ. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. And so we're first a human, born into this world with the nature of a man. And then when you're saved, there's a spiritual. The first man is the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they which are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they which are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And then where I want to go is let's read verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. And this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal immortality. And when this corruption shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. Okay, this is not, there's a verse where it says, it's in this passage where, let me see, 50, it talks about being that you were, here it is, verse 44, I'm sorry. It is sown a natural body. It's talking about this new birth that is shown in dishonor, it corrupted, but it's going to be raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's going to be raised in power. It is sown a natural body, the old fleshly body. It is raised a spiritual body. And so what he's saying, that the old man, before we receive our new body, is corruptible, it's dishonorable, it's a natural body. But the new man is honorable, it's not sown in corruption, and it's a spiritual body. And what the point I'm trying to finally get to after all that is that there's coming a time when this house that I dwell, my new house, that it is not a natural body, but it's a spiritual body. Now, he's not saying, when he says it's a spiritual body, he's not saying that we're, you know, like a steam, or we're kind of floating around, but he's saying that it's going to be dominated 100% by the Spirit. That there's no more enemies. That what God wants me to do, I'll immediately do it. That there'll be no more war in the spiritual body that I inherit. Mm-hmm. That I'll never, ever, ever have to say, oh, wretched man that I am. Because I've been redeemed forever. The natural body is absolutely holy. When it talks about the divine body. Now, let me... Oh, man. I don't know what we're going to do. Hold this paper, because when we get over to 1 John chapter 5:18, we're going to have to figure out some things. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.